Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Ravel, and this is ValueSide for Tuesday, May 2nd. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. Well, today, I'll put my faith in the American people. It was an expression that we used to hear often in this country. Politicians would put their thumbs in their suspenders, lean back, and begin their speeches with the meme, "I'll put my faith in the American people." It was a way for them to say that they were the servants of those who elected them, ever aware that they could be thrown out of office at the next election. It was an everyday way of saying that, in America, power derives from the people, and elected officials' chief duty was to serve the wishes of the citizens of the country. Now, last week, President Joe Biden announced that he was running for re-election. This followed Donald Trump's announcement that he would be Biden's chief opponent, at least at this point in the campaign. This will mark the beginning of Washington's four-year polling cycle, the time when polls of all stripes and colors try to predict just who will win the presidency. Polling is a fascinating process, and maybe not at all what you think it is. In 1933, a young PhD from Iowa began what is now the most closely watched measure of presidential elections. His name was George Gallup, and his famous Gallup poll became the gold standard of measuring public opinion. Just 1 year after starting his company, Gallup was able to predict the victory of Franklin Roosevelt over Alfred Landon for the presidency. This was a complete shock to the Washington establishment and went counter to every other prediction on the race. You see, Gallup had used his objective, statistically accurate measures of public opinion and had a much better picture of the mood and sentiment of the American people. Now, others in Washington were merely predicting based on unreliable hunches and their feeling about how people would vote. Gallup's reputation was now set. From that point on, the Gallup poll was acknowledged as the premier measure of elections. You see, Gallup decided at the very beginning of his firm that the Gallup poll would remain scrupulously objective, and they would never accept the sponsorship from any politician, be they Democrat or Republican. And although he could have been much more profitable, he understood how easy it was to become swayed by sponsors. After Gallup's success in 1936, his firm ruled the world of opinion polling for the rest of his life. George Gallup died in 1984. But while he lived, many felt that we had reached the pinnacle of measuring public attitudes and wishes. In a very real sense, that we were the closest the country ever came to a pure democracy, where our representatives in Washington could simply call up the latest Gallup poll to see how their constituents wanted them to vote on any given issue. In the years after George Gallup died, the polling world underwent a dramatic change. Although there were still a few polling firms that held to Gallup's objective purely by the numbers approach to measuring public opinion, the real power and money was on the other side. It was now the politicians, Democrats and Republicans, who had become the real powers in polling. And the epitome of this new kind of pollster was Stanley Greenberg, who emerged as Bill Clinton's personal polling company. But Greenberg's service for the future president and his political party went far beyond Gallup's method. While Gallup was a collector of data, someone who measured opinion, Greenberg's role was to shape opinion. Greenberg would work with Clinton throughout his 2 terms in office, and Greenberg would become famous for his focus groups. This was a method that several of the more advanced marketing firms in the country used to design ad campaigns. In a focus group, a select group of people representing specific demographics are brought together in a room to react to various pitches to sell different products. In Greenberg's case, the product was Clinton for President, and later the various projects and proposals the new president would advocate. It was the perfect all-in-one package. First, use focus groups to refine the right title and message of any new policy, then use opinion polling to measure how things are going. Greenberg was a smashing success for Clinton. Elected twice as president, was able to tailor his message specifically to the mood of the country. Now, Greenberg took polling from simply a measures of opinions to become the one who shapes opinion. And with that change in opinion polling came a new approach from Washington. Our so-called representatives now had the ability to pursue their own agenda independent from the electorate. After all, with a really good pollster like Greenberg, the clever politician could convince those they represented that their solutions were the best. In other words, the idea started in Washington and then is sold to the constituents, not the other way around. Greenberg's program is not yet perfect. Occasionally, the public does not follow through. A Donald Trump is elected, a Bud Light campaign goes haywire, a Tucker Carlson is fired without prior planning. But for those of us who cherish free speech and representative government, this new form of opinion shaping is far too successful. Our current president, Joe Biden, is the best example of the transformation from representative government to opinion shaping. He spends the first 2 days of his presidency signing edict after edict, executive order after executive order. And there's no consultation with either Congress or the American people. Like a medieval potentate, Biden lays out his personal agenda, and he has learned the lesson of using just the right title to sell any proposal. For instance, call an act the Inflation Reduction Act, and people accept it, even though each cost estimate for this particular act is higher than the last, thereby promoting, not reducing, inflation. Mandate electric vehicles, whether or not people actually want to drive EVs, merely because in this new world you can. And fight a proxy war in Ukraine, and at each step along the way escalate that war, even though a growing number of Americans are now in opposition. For Biden, he is the president, and the federal bureaucracy, along with the media, will help shape public opinion here, too. So the polling season has begun. But before we take stock in what the polls say, first we need to ask, who are they working for? And are they really measuring public opinion or shaping it? And that's the value side for this Tuesday, May 2nd. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revell. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.